I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. And again, next hour, busy hour, I've got the head basketball coach at Minnesota, Richard Pitino. I've got a lineman for the Green Bay Packers, Billy Turner. Right now, though, as promised, we are joined by an Olympic gold medalist wrestler. He is a four-time world champion, second American wrestler in history to win three world or Olympic gold medals in a row, one of just two American wrestlers to win three or more world championships, a two-time national champ in Nebraska, winner of three Big 12 titles, winner of the Hodge Trophy. He's also a member of the Bills Mafia. He's Jordan Burroughs. Jordan, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks for the invitation, man. I appreciate it. It's good,
Jordan,
to be here.
Great to talk to you. Great to have you on the program. Listen, there's so much I want to talk to you about, Jordan, but before we go anywhere else, I want to ask you about the Buffalo Bills, because this is a big Buffalo Bills house. I know you're a big Bills fan. How did you first get into the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, wild, man. So I grew up in South Jersey, right outside of Philly. And so my parents were always longtime Eagles fan, but you know, just a little resistant to the in-house sports team product. So I was a Denver Broncos fan as a kid. All those, you know, great teams in 97 and 98. But when I was courting my current wife, I realized that I wanted to be involved with a program that wasn't just based on geography. My wife's from Buffalo, New York. Her uncle actually is Thurman Thomas. And so I got to meet, well, we call him Uncle Thurm. Spent a lot of time with Thurman Thomas. He brought me into the fold, introduced me to the coaching staff. I've talked to the Bills organization numerous times. I text back and forth with Coach McDermott. And so it is a special relationship that I have with the Bills, and it's really a hometown team. And so whenever we're back in Buffalo, we always try to connect with the Bills, and we have some friends that work in an organization as well. And, yeah, man, it's been a great team to root for. They represent most of what American society looks like. They're gritty, they're tough, they're working class, and I think they are America's team. I know the Cowboys are considered America's team, but they represent the working class of America, and that's why I'm happy to be a Bills fan.
My man, I agree with everything you just said, except for that last part about America's team, because I glossed to Cleveland. And don't get this twisted. I mean, I love the Bills. I love that town. I love that organization. I love that team, except I've been calling the Cleveland Browns America's team for the last part of 2 years now, but pretty much for the same reasons you just mentioned. I mean, that's amazing. Jordan Burroughs, my guest, the way he laid that whole thing out. Sunday also, you tweeted, quote, "It seems as if most NFL players with wrestling backgrounds are linemen. What other football positions do former wrestlers gravitate towards?" And I'd like to know just how many NFL players also wrestled in high school. Like, so when you're watching football, especially offensive and defensive linemen, what are you seeing that looks familiar to you?
For sure. So I think that what translates well for linemen specifically is the hand fight. So knowing how to stand up an opponent, knowing how to move an opponent, in order to either, you know, get through them, get them underneath of you, keep them off of your quarterback, or get to their quarterback. I think that's a really big part of wrestling. Is it's almost like boxing. You have to know how to move your body, control positional awareness, using your hands to really control the body of your opponent. But also, I think that what I've seen a lot lately, and you think that would translate better, would be the tackling ability. Every time I see a double leg in football or a standard tackle, I'm like, man, this looks so much like wrestling. And so I think that what I could help to do, or if more football players were interested in the sport and really kind of use that as cross training, is just the standard double leg in wrestling looks almost identical to a tackle with good form. Hands behind your running back or wide receiver's thighs, making sure that your head's up and in, making sure that, you know, you have a strong head and strong neck, and then running the guy down and driving him to the ground. So I think wrestling translates well because we're tough. We work hard. We're able to just be in intimate settings where we're so close to our opponent, and it just it makes for good action. And so it's fun to see all the wrestlers go on to be good football players. Listen, I was my senior year of high school, I weighed 135 pounds. So although I had supreme tackling skills, I never had the size to be in the NFL. So I think that's why linemen's transition most is because they have the skill set, but they also have the size and the frame to do well. So, you know, I think if you ask the average high school wrestler, would they rather play in the NFL or would they, you know, rather wrestle? I think most of them would say play in the NFL, but I think that, you know, wrestling, because of weight classes, the smallest weight class being 103 pounds and the largest being heavyweight. There's not many of us who can actually transition to the NFL, so it's cool to see the linemen actually do it.
Jordan Burroughs joining us. Now, anytime an Olympic wrestler comes on the program, I hear from a ton of fans of the sport. Like, as you go back, when you were 5 years old, you just got started in that sport. How did you first get into wrestling?
Yeah, so I was a big fan of WWE, or WWF at that time, right? So I used to watch a lot of guys, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, The Ultimate Warrior, Edge and Christian, The Brood, like all these guys, they were, those were my guys. And so with my cousin Tyler, we spent a lot of time strolling the aisles of Walmart and Target looking for action figures from the WWF. We had a ring. We had all the video games. We watched SmackDown and Raw and SummerSlam and WrestleMania, all these things that we were wrestling gurus. And so when I finally got an opportunity to do it, I was like, man, is this going to be like what I see on TV? Am I going to be able to jump off the top ropes and do a frog splash and slam through people through tables? So I thought that was really cool. But when I got to the local gymnasium at my town's high school and saw that there were just wrestling mats laid out and you had to wear a singlet and headgear, it was much different than what I expected. But I was the youngest of four in the run of my family. So wrestling was one of the few sports you didn't have to be big in stature to be successful because of the weight classes. And I was scrappy young man, and I was competitive right away. And I won my very first tournament. I didn't even win the tournament, but I got a participation trophy. And that's what kind of hooked me, is I got the chance to like have a tangible piece of evidence from a competition, and I was hooked. My dad would take me to the trophy room before every tournament. He'd show me all the trophies, say, son, you see that big trophy over there, the tallest one in the room? That's for the guy that wins first place. That's if you win all your matches today. So that was kind of what motivated me as a kid. And, you know, 25 years later, I'm still at it. Trophies have gotten a little smaller, but the stakes have gotten higher, and it's still a fun time for me.
Jordan Burroughs is joining us. So then you go to Nebraska, and you had a challenging freshman year, but then over the next 3 years, you went 1-11-6, and then you go on an absolute tear. You're ripping off NCAA championships, the U.S. Open, then the World Championships in 2011, and then in 2012, you go to London for the Olympics. What do you remember about the experience of winning a gold medal?
There's nothing like it, Jim. There's really nothing like it. Wrestling, the pinnacle of our sport is the Olympic gold. We don't have a championship season, you know, much like you see in the NFL with the playoffs. So it was something that I had dreamed about for a long time, but to actually have it and feel it was something completely different. I had never even seen or touched an Olympic gold medal until it was actually placed around my neck. Mm. And so that was the first one I had ever seen, standing on top of the podium, watching the American flag being raised high with my hand over top of my heart. And just standing there, I'm like, man, I did this. I remember watching the Olympics in Atlanta and Sydney and Athens, and, you know, thinking like, man, how cool would that be to be there? And then to actually be there, and not only be there and participate, but to win it, it's indescribable. It was a lot of fun.
Jordan Burroughs joining us. So then, Jordan, you keep on dominating, and then you go to Rio, and things don't work out as well as you would have hoped. You lose in the quarterfinals, and then you said some really interesting things about the experience. Like, you go to Rio to win, and that's the only outcome on your mind, and then it doesn't happen. And then you made the point you had to go about rebuilding yourself mentally and psychologically. How did you do that, and what was that process like? What were the types of things you were dealing with emotionally?
Yeah, it was a dark time. I think one of the hardest things about being a professional athlete is your failures are public. The average person, if something happens to them, no one really knows about it. But for us, people are watching it. People are in the stands with their camera phones, and you're publicly crucified. And so it's a very difficult time. You have to rebuild your identity separate from your occupation. Everyone calls you the champ, or everyone knows who you are and what you do, and you're heralded as this hero. But when you get beat, you know, you have like this scarlet letter and the stigma where everyone's like, man, I'm so sorry that things didn't work out for you. So to rebuild, I had to really just reevaluate my goals. I had to rebuild my confidence, be, you know, confident in my abilities, knowing what I could do moving forward. But I had to cling closely to my team and have a lot of faith moving forward, because I knew that it was going to be hard going in front of my contemporaries and all my peers once again. And, you know, knowing that I didn't perform to the best of my ability, it was tough. It was humiliating and embarrassing. But I got a great team of people. I got a great wife. Everyone encouraged me and pumped me up, told me I was still great. I could still do it. I still had opportunities ahead of me, and that the best years of my competition were still in front of me. And so just dug down deep and just got back to it and just ignored the critics and stopped reading the forums and stopped listening to what analysts had to say about my performance and just started believing in myself, and things worked out for me.
I love it. Jordan Burrow is joining us. Of course, Jordan, the question always comes up with wrestlers, and that's whether or not they can make the transition to MMA. There are so many guys who've done it and done it really well, actually. How much consideration have you even given to making a move to MMA? Is it a possibility?
A ton, bro. A ton. Listen, I follow Conor McGregor on Instagram. I see him pull up with a new Rolex and a Bentley, you know, driving a Lamborghini to practice and, you know, riding a yacht into Abu Dhabi to fight Island. I'm like, damn, I should have fought. And so it's an interesting dynamic because, you know, I think I could really translate well. Most of the champions in MMA are former wrestlers. Kamaru Usman, Henry Cejudo, John Jones, Daniel Cormier, all these guys were great wrestlers, and I was teammates and trained alongside them guys. So I was like, if they could do it, I could do it. But it's a different sport. It's a completely different sport, and I have so much appreciation and admiration for those guys. But I love wrestling. Wrestling's my craft, and it's what I've honed on into. It's not as sexy, not as glamorous. You don't make as much money, but I think what we do is all about honor. And that's what makes it cool for me. So, you know, I'm a big fan of MMA, but at the end of the day, I love wrestling, number one. And number two, I just don't want to get punched in the face, bro. Like, it's such a different – if you lose, you got taken down. You might got put into your back and pinned. But if you get beat in a fight, you got choked out, tapped out, someone's broken something. Wrestling match, you lose, you go to have dinner with your family. If you lose an MMA fight, you go to the hospital.
Jordan, that is such a great response. You know, when you said that there's a nobility in wrestling and then there's honor in that, I mean, absolutely, 100%. And I don't think those things are necessarily mutually exclusive. I'm sure you'd agree. Like, Daniel Cormier is one of the classiest guys ever awesome. In any walk of life. What do you think? Like, to your point about, yeah, it's not an easy way to make a living, getting punched in the face and kneed in the face. What's it say about the breed? What's it say about the breed of athlete that it takes to step into the octagon? Can you even explain what that's like for the fans who are so into it but have no idea the price that's being paid?
Yeah, for sure. I think it takes a certain level of fearlessness, and I don't necessarily say fearlessness. It's bravery. No one is absent of fear. Everyone's scared. Everyone's nervous. Everyone's anxious when that gate closes behind you and you step into that octagon with the person across from you wanting to kill you. But I think that there's a certain level of courage and bravery that it takes to get in there because you know what you're made of, and you know what you're willing to display to the world. And so when you step into that ring, you want to put on a show for the fans, and you want to display all of the skills that you've been, you know, honing and spending hours sacrificing to, you know, to craft. And I think that's what's really special about the MMA world is these guys are real athletes. This is no longer the early stages of the UFC where these guys are just random brawlers that they pick out of a bar to go in there and fight bare knuckle. These guys are high-level professional athletes that are training with the professionals in every single field. And so, you know, I think I liken it to, like, heptathletes and decathletes and track and field, where these people are masters of every single craft, from wrestling to jiu-jitsu to judo, you know, to kickboxing. They do such a tremendous job. And, you know, I think that it's a new breed of athlete. People are going to start to grow up and train specifically to be fighters, not to be, you know, wrestlers or boxers or go to the NFL or NBA. They are going to train specifically to go to the UFC. And so it's a new generation of fighters that are going to be coming up soon, but it takes a lot of bravery to do what they do. And that's why I'm a huge fan of it. They're good men in that sport, good women in that sport, and great athletes.
Extremely well said. And this is why, to my point, everybody loses, like, well, except for maybe Habib, but everybody loses because of the multitude of disciplines. There are so many different ways to get caught. Really quickly, Jordan, what's the rest of your schedule look like for 2021? How does the year shape up for you?
Yeah, so I have seen that there was a statement from the Japanese Prime Minister just recently that he still wants to hold the Olympic Games. So the Olympics from 2020, Tokyo, Japan, were postponed to the summer of 2021. And so right now, that's what we're continuously preparing for. Our Olympic trials, which is our qualification process for the Olympic Games, happens in April. I'll be wrestling there. If I win there, best 2 out of 3 against my opponent, I'll be on the U.S. Olympic team at 74 kilograms or 163 pounds. And I'll get to compete in August of 2021 for my chance to win a second Olympic gold medal. So super exciting times for myself and my family and my teammates. And we are just training, getting my weight down, getting ready for the Olympic trials, and hopefully going out there and putting on the show.
My guy, what a great conversation. He's already got the gold medal. He's a four-time world champion, second American wrestler in history to win three world or Olympic gold medals in a row, Jordan Burroughs. Jordan, so great to have you on the show. You nailed that. Great to talk to you, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Jim, thank you.
Appreciate that so much, Jordan. What a great interview that was. So if you're a fan of wrestling, and I know you are, because every time we have an Olympic wrestler on, I get a lot of reaction. Go ahead, hit me up. You know where to find me. Telephone number is toll free. Hit me up on social media. When we come back, the head basketball coach at Minnesota, Richard Pitino, and then I've got an open segment right after that. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay tuned.